There's a fantastic new movie that you must see. It comes out in early April of this year, 2021. The movie is called Roe v. Wade, and the writer and co-director and main star of the movie is Nick Loeb, and he joins us right now. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Nick, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Jerry, for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. Now, I really enjoyed this movie. I got to see a sneak peek, and even though the movie is called Roe v. Wade, I think in a sense it could almost be called Bernard v. Bernard, in the sense that you took the story of Roe v. Wade but told it through the eyes of Dr. Bernard Nathanson, the late Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who basically brought Roe or helped. He was one of the key persons bringing Roe to the forefront and did so many abortions and then later had a change of heart. So, first of all, congratulations on making this program, this film. I think it's unbelievable. I think it could be used really in a powerful way. Tell us about why you decided to make this.
Well, I've been in the film business, for a long time, and for me, when I was first presented the story, I was really in shock that the story of Roe v. Wade, which is the most famous court case in American history that everybody knows, has never really been told in a cinematic way. I thought that, once I heard about the story, I'm like, well, why would anybody want to, everyone knows what happened. It's the case that legalized abortion. Why would anyone maybe really want to see it? And the more I read about it and dug into it, I found, some fascinating insight into, the conspiracy and the manipulation. And to me, it almost came across as sort of a conspiracy type film. And I thought from a Hollywood perspective, it would be very, very entertaining. And also getting out the truth and also, aligning with, some of my beliefs on what's going on now. And I think, getting the truth out there today is so important. And if we can do it in a fun, exciting way where we can tell a story, I think there's all more benefit to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just give us a quick rundown of some of the big names you have in the movie and even small little cameos. I was like, was that Roger Stone? No way.
Well, we're not releasing a lot of the cameos yet. There's some surprise cameos in the film. But John Voight plays Supreme Court Justice Warren Burger. We've got Corbin Burnson from L.A. Law, Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy, Don Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, Stacey Cash from Clueless, Dory Lawrence from Blossom. We have Wade Williams, William Forsythe, our port now, and some really, really great actors that, maybe everybody doesn't know everybody's name, but, an incredible, recognizable cast, Jamie Kennedy from Scream. And I think, this is, we really a lot of extremely, extremely talented veteran actors who have been in the industry for many, many years that really came through with an award-winning performances.
And there's also Elvita King. I don't know if you mentioned her, but the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, who's very strong pro-life. Tell me about the obstacles you had to make this film, because it's not politically correct.
Well, I obviously making a movie on this subject matter, no matter which way it leans, is going to be challenging and difficult. And I think some of those challenges, were raising the money, securing locations, making sure we had security, and things like that. So, on both sides, we had a tremendous amount of support from the pro-life community, but there was obviously some animosity from the pro-choice and the liberal media. I would say, probably the biggest challenge was dealing with some of the fake news. And even, our sets were invaded at times by press. I'll tell you one story where we were shooting at the Lincoln Memorial, and there was a reporter from the Daily Beast flew out from California, showed up on set unannounced, and in the middle of shooting the scene, he jumped in the middle of the scene during the take, following the actors copying down their dialogue in the middle of a scene. And so this was, you know, I've never seen anything like that, you know, in my, you know, 20 plus years in Hollywood. And I think that was, you know, challenging and evasive. And so that's just sort of one of many, many stories.
And just so we have a perspective on this, that kind of thing would cost filmmakers a lot of money. I mean, every minute of filming, there's just so many people involved. I mean, that was a costly crime. I don't know if I'd call it a crime, but a costly infraction, was it not?
Yeah, I mean, we had to go and retake it a bunch of times. We had to deal with the reporter, and it became a little bit of a, you know, it slowed us down for the day, so that, you know, it created some challenges around that. But,
yeah.
You know, that was just one of many, many incidences that we had to, you know, deal with. And I, you know, that's the nature of the beast when it comes to, you know, a topic like this.
During your career, you've worked with Quincy Jones, Barbara Streisand, Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Kathy Bates, Gerard Butler, John Voight, among many others. Was this a challenging role for you, Bernard Nathanson?
Well, it was probably the most challenging role. You know, it was the most exciting role to play because I was able to go through a myriad of different emotions, you know, from excitement and happiness to sadness and depression, you know, and really follow this man's journey, you know, through a majority, you know, an integral part of his life. And you know, it was really, really fascinating, and it was a big part. It was a big role. It was extremely emotional, and I hope you liked it.
Yes, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was really great, and I remember his book. There was one book, Aborting America, which you mentioned at the end of the film. There was another book too. I thought it was called The Hand of God. Or something like that.
Bernard wrote several books.
Yeah.
Those were two of the, I think, three or four books that he wrote and several articles. I mean, we used, you know, some of his books as sources. I mean, we probably used over 40 books in the sources of making the film, which is, I think, interesting is everything in the film is 100% accurate. And we've sourced, you know, every single, so people may think things are salacious, but everything that's salacious in there, it has been sourced and verified.
Yeah. And would it be fair to say that basically the Supreme Court members, even those who would be inclined to vote against abortion, basically caved to the pressure that they felt from the press and other sources?
Yeah, which I think, you know, interestingly enough, is what's going on today. I mean, if you take a look at what's happening, you know, with our elections, I think a lot of the courts today were completely pressured by the media to make decisions. And that happens all the time, whether it's our legislators or our Supreme Court justices. The media has a tremendous influence on policy in America today. And you could see that, you know, and that hasn't stopped. That has been going on for many, many, many years. And even in Roe, yeah, I mean, there was a tremendous amount of public and media pressure, which sort of pushed the justices in their decision. And I also think what's really interesting about the movie is this is sort of, I don't remember any other movie that's actually taken any Supreme Court case and gone inside the back rooms and the walls of the conversations of the justices and really seen it. I think today, where the Supreme Court and nominations have become so visceral, and people don't really get an inside look to what goes on, I think Roe v. Wade is the first movie that'll give an inside peek to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Justice Byron White was one of the two dissenters of Roe v. Wade. And in the companion decision of that very same day, Doe v. Bolton, he said, this is all an act of raw judicial power. Raw judicial power. Any comments on that? I mean, having done all this research and made this film?
Yeah, I mean, I think Byron's comment about that was, you know, this was completely decided that the justice has too much of a tremendous amount of power and made decisions based not on the Constitution, but essentially on their own internal powers because of whatever they were dealing with at the time. And I feel that's what Byron's decision was and what he felt on that.
Okay, now tell us about the backdrop of this film. I mean, this is obviously a huge emotional commitment that you made, as did some others, but you especially. What was the initial catalyst for this, and how long ago did this start? And by the way, I commend you for doing this, because this was not be easy, and this might even cost you some Hollywood friends.
Well, I think it already has, but this project started about let's say 4 years ago. I started writing the script. It took me about a year to get through, all the court transcripts, the interviews, the books. I put a tremendous amount of research, because for me it was really important, especially telling the story, that everything really be documented and factual, because I knew I would be attacked, no matter what we wrote. And so it was a huge process to write, and we went through, many iterations of the draft, and I brought on Kathy Lynn, who is my partner, to help me with that. And then, it took us about a year to go out and raise money to make the film. Obviously, Hollywood wasn't going to fund this film. And so we had to go to private individuals and do crowdfunding and, scrape anywhere we could. And, finally got to a point where we could go and start shooting. Then after we shot, we went through the editing process, and then we were about to release last year, and COVID hit. And that sort of set us back for a year. But it's been, it's been a journey. But, most films take many, many, many years to get off the ground and get made. And, this was, in my opinion, relatively fast from inception to delivery. I've got projects here that I've been trying to get made since my 20s. So.
Wow. And you shot, as I understand it, you shot in New York City. You shot in Washington, D.C., and then you shot some things also in Louisiana. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we shot the majority of the film in Louisiana. I would say we shot, 95% of the film. We shot, about a week in New Orleans, 2 weeks in the Baton Rouge area. And we just used Louisiana as a backdrop, for New York. I think it did really, really well. I think you mentioned earlier, before we hopped on, about Tulane University, when we shot, some exterior quad scenes of Bernard Nathanson graduating from university, from McGill at Tulane. Jody Lawrence had a couple classroom scenes that we used. We shot at Tulane. We used one of the hotels downtown New Orleans as the Plaza Hotel in New York City, and some of the exterior streets of New Orleans around the government buildings as downtown New York. But then we were able to shoot, I thought what was really amazing is going to shoot in New York. One of the things in New York where we shot, we were the only movie in history to be allowed to shoot inside St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue, where we shot a multitude of scenes.
Yes.
And I thought that was the biggest coup and really the most amazing experience for all of us.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
Yeah, it was interesting, too. The film brought out so well how the left made a boogeyman of the Catholic Church in general, or not in general, specifically in this, in order to champion their cause. But we have half a minute left. Where can people see this film? Give us a website, etc. 30 minutes.
Yes,
30
so people can go to RoeVWadeMovie.com. The movie comes out April 2nd on iTunes, Amazon, everyone's local cable pay-per-view. In the meantime, there are, we have hundreds of people and organizations, pro-life groups, churches, Knights of Columbus, Legatus, a lot of organizations doing private screenings, private virtual screenings, renting out theaters and churches. If they go to RoeVWadeMovie.com, they can learn how to do that. If they want to get a group together and screen the movie between now and the release, they can do that. And follow the website or go to our Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Roe v. Wade Movie, for all of it to catch up on all the updates.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us. It's funny, you mentioned all those peripheral outlets, that may end up being, you know, it could become like a movement, especially with COVID. The theatrical releases are not obviously, you know, on the same level as they were even just a year ago. So that's a fantastic, you know, means by which the word can get out. Thank you so much for making the film, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jerry.